Last Sunday, a Lancaster bomber flew over the Mall in London and a million poppies were released, marking the last day of the official commemorations for the 60th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. The next day, a simpler memorial ceremony was held for the 8,000 Muslim men and boys massacred 10 years ago when Bosnian Serb forces overran the United Nations-protected safe haven of Srebrenica. The Foreign Secretary, Jack Straw, said the international community had been shamed by its failure to stop what he called this evil. Paul Adams was at the ceremony in Srebrenica.
I'd often thought about going back. As a reporter covering the Bosnian War from my base in Belgrade, I passed close by Srebrenica on numerous occasions, but the road that led to the besieged enclave was always blocked by the Bosnian Serb army. And so, as I turned up that road a few days ago, I felt a mixture of emotions. Excitement, for sure, at seeing a place I had reported on without ever visiting, but also dread at finally seeing this haunted valley. I feared the journey back in time to a place where Europeans turned on each other with a ferocity that was hard to fathom. As I expected, eastern Bosnia felt like a time warp. These mountain villages, where a whirlwind of ethnic cleansing killed thousands of Muslims and uprooted tens of thousands more, still carry the telltale scars. Bullet-ridden, burned-out houses bearing skeletal witness to the dreadful things that happened here. We passed Kravica and a warehouse where scores, perhaps hundreds of men and boys were murdered 2 days after the Bosnian Serb army overran Srebrenica. Countless bullet holes had been filled in with grey concrete, but no one had bothered to repaint the walls, so every single mark stood out, making it disturbingly easy 10 years on to imagine the frenzy of gunfire and grenades. Up the road we found the finishing touches being put to a monument to Serb victims, a grim 7-metre cross surrounded by smaller crosses and benches all in the same bare concrete, commemorating an attack on Serbs by Bosnian soldiers from Srebrenica on Orthodox Christmas Day 1993. But on Monday, while the Serbs were preparing to hold their commemoration alone in Kravica, it seemed that half the world was converging on nearby Srebrenica. The convoys of coaches, the serried ranks of satellite trucks, and the heavy security all spoke of a major international event. The cemetery, already the resting place of 1,400 victims of the massacre, was slowly filling up with relatives. Row upon row of fresh graves, 610 in all, waited for the biggest mass burial since the war. It had rained heavily overnight. The cemetery was turning into a muddy swamp. Through this quagmire, green coffins were borne aloft, and a forest of long-handled shovels went to work, filling in grave after grave. Pockets of grieving women looked on with expressions of misery that time had not done much to alleviate. As the vast crowd, perhaps 10,000 in all, stood in prayer, we set off to find and interview Jack Straw, who just made a speech on behalf of the British government and the European Union. We tried, as delicately as possible, to pick our squelching way through the crowd towards the VIPs. But it seemed Mr. Straw had given us and his press people the slip. With time running out before he left, we set off in hot pursuit across the road to the battery factory. It had been here exactly 10 years earlier that thousands of frantic civilians had thrown themselves on the mercy of demoralized Dutch peacekeepers, knowing that the Bosnian Serb army was coming, and knowing, I suspect, what that meant. Like so much else, the factory seemed frozen in time. Nothing repaired, everything shattered, broken, and decaying. It felt more than a little surreal to be running in and out of deserted, ghostly rooms, some still covered in Dutch graffiti, hunting for Jack Straw. We finally tracked him down, eating cashews in an upper-story office, waiting to talk to the presidents of Serbia and Croatia, both of whom had come to Srebrenica for the ceremony. It was clear what the Foreign Secretary wanted to talk about. He'd just publicly warned both countries that if they want to join the European Union, they'd better hurry up and hand over indicted war criminals. But this eerie place, where the UN capitulated to General Ratko Mladic, setting the scene for the massacres that followed, seemed a strange venue in which to discuss the region's future prospects. The general, by the way, is still in Belgrade, but there's a widespread belief that he won't be there for long. Serbia will probably give him up to The Hague before the end of the year. When the mass funeral was over, the mourners, who'd only arrived that morning, turned around and left. Very few Muslims live in Srebrenica anymore. Ethnic cleansing and the subsequent peace accord have ensured that this part of Bosnia remains largely Serb. I watched the buses filling up with women and children, a bizarre echo of their forced evacuation 10 years earlier, which left their husbands and sons at the mercy of General Mladic. The women gazed out of the windows at the cemetery, saying farewell to their menfolk again.